veterans benefits. And I want to do a little shout out to Lori and Aaron on their amazing veterans paper. That is my go-to resource. And of course, public benefits also include Section 8 housing and benefits that are specific to that region. Do you find, Brad, that people get confused about what public benefits are, even practitioners or other lawyers? They think it's all Medicaid or think it's all Social Security.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Clients are never sure if they're getting Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security or SSI. So, of course, it's confusing. And as a new practitioner, that's been a few years since I've been a new practitioner, but I can remember also being confused. So there's a lot to cover under the umbrella of public benefits. And we've heard some great discussion, broad scope discussions from Molly this morning, and the rest of the afternoon and tomorrow is we're going to be diving into things that Christina and I can't cover today, including ABLE accounts and a lot of other interesting and necessary public benefits.
And just to bring the point home is that the reason why we do special supplemental needs trust planning is that we can protect assets that people either inherit unexpectedly or for parents to leave money to their children or their family members so they don't disqualify them financially. Because as we'll talk about here in our next slide, there's a recipe. Clive calls it a formulary. I call it a recipe. I always say it's like baking a cake. We have to have all the ingredients at the right time. Otherwise, you know, we lose eligibility for, you know, sometimes a month or more. And so, Bryn, when you're talking to clients about explaining this, how do you explain it to them, these different elements that they have to meet?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We often don't go into all of the detail with our clients of every single aspect of eligibility, but we certainly want them to know the scope of, you know, the big overarching. We have to be eligible financially. We have to meet the medical requirements if there are any, and there has to be an available space in whatever program we're applying for.
Right. And I like to remind them that there's 109 different Medicaid programs. And for those of you who are watching this, don't worry, we're not going all over all of them this morning. But it's a very complicated program, the Texas Medicaid system. And how I explain it to clients, all these Medicaid programs are like tools in the toolbox. We have to select carefully the tool that works for you and make sure that the tool we want to use in the future, we still maintain eligibility for. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding with clients. They think, oh, my cousin was on Medicaid or so-and-so was on Medicaid. And they think that's the way that, oh, it's easy because this person is on Medicaid for whatever reason. So we like to tell clients that there's many different programs. And so your case is going to be, of course, different. And evidently, there's a lot of Medicaid advice. I always say going on in church parking lots and beauty salons. Which is why when we used to go to church in person, I would run to the car after service. Okay. Okay. So I know you, Bryn, you do some home care work for qualifying clients for Medicaid. How do you talk to everyone? How do you explain, you know, going from home to the facility for clients?
Well, it's just going to be the same kind of process that we're doing if we're doing skilled nursing facility qualification. We're going to look at the whole broad picture of our clients' assets and determine if this program is going to provide what we need. And if so, how do we become eligible for those programs, or are we already eligible for those programs?
And this is where I think being a worrywart really pays off. If you're a worrier like I am, I worry if the 30 to 50 hours a week they're going to get in home care program, maybe under Star Plus waiver, isn't enough. How do we create a plan to exit to a facility? And what kind of facility? Are we going to assisted living? Are we going to nursing? And so this is, as practitioners, if you're new, when you're working with clients, be aware that where they are today, they may be needing a different level of care 6 months from now, a year from now. Maybe they get healthier. I have had clients that we had home care and they were able to be able to almost not meet the medical necessity test because they were getting such good care at home. And then, of course, we always want to create those worst case scenarios, which is what happens if the healthier spouse dies, making sure that those wills are updated to include those special needs trusts or supplemental needs trusts. And I am obsessed with beneficiary designations, as I'm sure you are. So remember, everybody, beneficiaries trump the will. And you want to update and make sure all those beneficiary designations coordinate with the planning that you're doing.